well.
And welcome back to Morning Magazine. This is Michael Klisch. Our next guests are from the Fort Atkinson School District. We have the superintendent, Dr. James Fitzpatrick. Good morning, Jim.
Hi, Mike. Good morning to you.
We have the, are you the president of the, school board, Scott Johnson? Good morning, Scott.
Good morning.
And we have the business manager?
Sure.
Director? What do you,
director of business
director,
services.
Whatever. What
whatever.
Do you care? You're a business guy. All right, Jason Demmer.
Good morning.
Good morning, Jason. My initial thought was to get the representatives of all our area districts, Mike Swartz having a big meeting with his people trying to figure out what they're going to do next. Whitewater couldn't make it, so we're going to concentrate on Fort Atkinson.
Well, Mike, we appreciate the opportunity, and I can understand why my colleagues are
pretty
in meetings,
because
we've been in meetings too.
Yeah. So. The budget introduced by the governor this week, not the final. We were talking to Senator Fitzgerald earlier today. It's got 3 months to go before it is finalized. There will be changes, but you can expect a big hit in the Fort Atkinson School District, no matter what.
Yeah, we think so. I think we've looked at the timeline that you were referring to in terms of joint finance meetings across the state and hearings, and I'm quite certain that the joint finance meetings are going to hear plenty from the citizens as it relates to their reactions or feelings regarding the proposal of the repair bill, pro and con. But in terms of the school district and school districts, obviously for us, it's going to be a rough go. We've estimated that when we look at what the revenue cap increase reduction is going to be in the school district of Fort Atkinson, it comes out to $1.5 million, and that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
And the tools, so to speak, to recover or to defray that hit in the revenue cap, when you look at that, for us, it amounts to $940,000. Now, I'm going to let Jason go into a little more detail, but I think one of the things that you hear the governor speak to often is the tools that he's going to give districts, and in our case, to defray that $1.5 million we're going to lose in the revenue increase per student. However, the tools that he refers to, the School District of Fort Atkinson has always kind of had in place. We've always had the opportunity to competitively bid out our insurance plans, health plans. And our district, in our district, the 10% contribution has always been there, at least for, no, I shouldn't say always, but for a long period of time that precedes my coming here 12 years ago. And I think, you know, there's disparity. I think that's the key word that Jason shared with me. There's disparity in terms of how much revenue savings districts will have. Another key point, too, is you hear about the state insurance plan and are using tools. The Fort Atkinson School District has always bid for their health insurance, always trying to find good, comparable insurance that will cover and safeguard our employees. But we have a more competitive and cheaper costing plan than the state plan. And this bill applies to the state plan yet. So, anyway,
are you going to be forced to go under the state plan?
No, I don't think so. And I'll let Jason speak to that. We certainly don't want to when we can do better.
When you, yeah.
And that's the tools that I think we've always used. But you know, there's a gap of $572,000 that the governor is kind of overlooking when he thinks he's giving you the tools to make up that revenue cap increase deduction that he's
one size fits all is never.
No.
Never works.
No.
At least for somebody.
Yeah. So.
Right.
Anyway.
Jason, you're the numbers guy. What is it?
Yeah, we. When you talk about everybody having meetings, I actually met yesterday with my counterparts in surrounding districts, and we're trying to.
You guys.
Okay. Trying to sort through all this stuff that's going on.
So these are gang colors you're wearing.
But we met yesterday, and the one thing that stood out to me in talking to my counterparts is that this budget repair bill in the proposed budget does disproportionately affect Fort Atkinson School District because of the fiscal prudence we've exercised before, right?
Yeah.
You know, looking at the other districts, their annual family premium for health insurance is about $5,000 to $6,000 more than ours is. And so if they can just switch insurance companies because their unions had tied them to an insurance company, if they can just switch, they automatically save $5,000 to $6,000 per family plan without changing any benefits at all. We've been doing that for years. Like Dr. Fitzpatrick said, we've bid out and we always stay competitive. And our unions have never tied us to an insurance company. So, and the other part is the 10% premium share that our employees take. Other districts, I mean, across the state, the average is less than 5%.
Mm-hmm.
So if they implement what's proposed by Governor Walker, which is a 12%, they'll see significant savings there without changing plans. We'll see $100,000, maybe. That's about it. And so we take a $1.5 million hit, but with these tools, we got over $500,000 of that to make up.
Yeah.
So it unfortunately penalizes us for being good stewards in the past and working with our unions.
That's what usually happens with the one-size-fits-all mentality. It helps those that haven't been doing their job and hurts those that have.
Right. And the issue we would be faced with is these other districts can basically offer what they're offering now at a lower cost and attract quality employees.
Mm-hmm.
And in order for us to cut, we might have to diminish things, which then, you know, trying to stay competitive and retain the best employees and attract the best employees, you know, we'll kind of be behind the eight ball on that. So, unfortunately, that's the effect here. Mm. So,
and as a school district, you've been successful in attracting students from other districts.
Right. It's almost $700,000 net profit on open enrollment. So our programs are what brings the kids here and brings additional revenue for us to be able to spend on those programs.
Good point.
Yeah.
You get even better.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Mike, let's make no mistake about it. When you talk about good programs, you're talking about good teachers. You're talking about good administrators. You're talking about good staff. We've got an excellent learning community of people. You know, we want to maintain the excellence. We want to remain a beacon district in this community. And, of course, we had, prior to all this, convened a task force that had strongly recommended that we try to get out 3 years in addition to get out 3 years from the point in time when the current referendum expires in late June of this year, 2011. And I think the key message points are still there, except that if we really needed it before, we really need it now. And I think the interesting point is that we will make it out 3 years if we can have the support of our citizens in continuing the same level of support that they did when they approved the referendum in April of 2006 of $694,000 above the revenue cap. And I doubt there would be many districts that could say they made it from 2006 to 2014 at that same level of support. Now, with that, we also understand that we'll be bringing a budget that will show, since last spring, about $1.1 million in reductions or efficiencies that we found.
A better word.
Yeah, we just put the wind turbine up yesterday. That was an exciting thing for us. And amidst the geothermal kinds of savings we've had.
You have taken advantage of every opportunity that's been out there.
Well, Mike, we sure tried because we understood that, you know, anything that we can keep in the instructional budget is going to be to the benefit of our teachers. And fortunately, we've had a strong board that's really advocated for that as well.
Speaking of which, Scott, been talking to your colleagues since the new budget?
Well, I've been talking to a lot of public
Well, I guess it'd be illegal for you to get together with the school board.
Well, you know, there's been plenty of conversations taking place, but I think Jim and Jason have really framed the situation for us. We've been very good, prudent fiscal stewards in the past. Past boards have been very judicious in how we've worked with our staff and administrators and caring for our community and our students. And the budget repair bill, on, you know, average, it's a great deal for a lot of folks. It just isn't necessarily as good a deal for us, and it leaves us short $500,000-$600,000, even with the tools, because of the fact we've been using a number of these tools already.
Mm-hmm.
And so, as Jim has alluded to, the value of our proposed referendum is, and that's just maintaining what we've had in the past, is that much more valuable to us to try to continue to operate those high, you know, profiled and prolific programs that we've always offered our students. And it's very important for us to have the support of our public. I think it's very important for our public to know that we've been very good stewards and we've been managing their dollars very well. And we've had our staff contributing to their health insurance, and we've been bidding and getting very low-cost health insurance. So we've been very judicious in how we've managed our budgets and taking care of everything. And it's disappointing to see that, we don't always get the top end of the repair bill, but I think it reflects very positively on what we've done in the past and how we'll take care of things in the future.
Well, the future. What are you going to do?
Well, that's a good point, Mark. I think
a good question. I don't have a point here.
Yeah, well, it's a good question. I think right now, not only the news of what this may be for schools and municipalities, but mm-hmm. I think also almost of equal importance is the uncertainty, you know. And certainly I think if there's anything great learning communities have going for them, and I think we're one of them, is that you do have collaboration. And at some point, all of our wonderful people that serves in our labor unions and our labor groups will try to come together and try to figure out some agreements, because right now there's a lot of angst and there's a lot of worry and anxiety. And I would add that maybe one of the, you know, you always look for learning moments, or you look for lessons learned. And I think what we're experiencing in our learning community is part of what everybody in these difficult economic times has kind of run into. And that's hard for a lot of our staff who, like all the other normal citizens, they have mortgages, they have kids in college, they have different kinds of fiscal burdens, and all of a sudden, they're going to be at the brunt of taking some pretty good hits in their monthly incomes. And I think we're at the point where we have to move forward with it, and all of us do, and try to do the best we can. But I think that'll be served best if we can kind of sit down and come to some agreements.
Yeah. School districts that don't work, Washington, D.C. has been getting a lot of coverage for the last 10 years or so. But the teachers in the district are in a constant state of warfare. Not only don't they talk to each other, they hate each other. Not the case in Fort Atkinson or any of the other communities nearby that I'm aware of.
These are our people, just on the cusp of a wonderful Festival of Choirs event we had last night, I wanted to take the opportunity to introduce the program. I've never done that before, but I said, you know, tonight's the night. I want to do this. And
he's so impetuous.
Yeah. But you know what? Mr. Engstrom and Mrs. Deese and their accompanists, Mrs. Beyer and Mrs. Larson, and all the wonderful students that were there, they needed to be acknowledged, you know, for everything they contribute. And the audience, the parents and the grandparents who have so long supported finer education in Fort Atkinson, I know they want to keep that. They want to maintain that. And I think, as Mr. Johnson said, it's our job to be good stewards to make sure that that does get maintained and that we do it in a way that's fair to all concerned and very just.
Indeed. We should take a break.
Okay.
You're listening to Morning Magazine. We're going to pause for a quick update on the weather. We're looking at a cloudy day with a good chance for a shower, and temperatures will be steady in the mid-30s. Cloudy tonight, a chance for rain early, changing to snow, and a low of 28, and cloudy again tomorrow, with temperatures steady about 35 degrees. On Sunday, clouds and sun, and a high of 32 degrees. 34 degrees right now at WFAW.
It's the WFAW Community Calendar.
Friday, March 11th, join the Parents Cooperative Preschool for Pint Size Polkas, an entertaining and educational musical experience for children and their families. Concessions will be available at 5:30 p.m. by Salamoni's, followed by the performance at 6:15 at the lower level of the First United Methodist Church. Cost is just $2 per person. Kids under 2 are free. For more information, call 563-7252 or visit pcpfort.com. And on Saturday, March 5th, the Fort Atkinson Junior Women's Club presents the first ever charity game night. The night will be held at the Rocks Roadhouse in Jefferson and will feature games played from 7 to 9, a musical pipe circus at 9 p.m., and raffle baskets. Cost is $10 with reservation and $11 at the door. Call 563-7657. That's Saturday, March 5th at the Rocks Roadhouse.
The WFAW Community Calendar is also online at 940WFAW.com. If you have something to buy or sell, check out the Saturday Morning Exchange on 940 WFAW. We'll take your call starting at 7:20 every Saturday morning. If you can't get to the phone, you can mail us your items to Post Office Box 94, Fort Atkinson, 53538, or fax them to 920-563-0315. That's the Saturday Morning Exchange, now at 7:20 on Jefferson County's News and Talk. 940 WFAW.
And welcome back to Morning Magazine. Michael Klisch. And from the Fort Atkinson School District, we have the Superintendent Jim Fitzpatrick, the Business Manager Jason Demerith, and the President of the School Board, Scott Johnson. Should we continue our off-air discussion?
Sure.
Go ahead.
Well, I think one of the pieces that... is somewhat of a repercussion of this bill is that many, I mentioned the angst and the anxiety that many educators are going through, not only in Fort Atkinson, but in the state. But one of my biggest fears is that, you know, the loyalty and expertise some of our people have had and dedicated their lives to the teaching profession, this bill has caused them to reexamine what their plans are, and a lot of them are retiring or submitting their retirement notices. What I would say is premature compared to maybe their thoughts that maybe I would have gone 2, 3, maybe 4 more years. Mm-hmm. And when you consider the staff development and when you consider all the investment that we have in them, and they have it on us, and they have in the school system. That's where I think that's a big intangible that the normal person doesn't see in terms of what makes the greatness of a learning community. And so, anyway, that's kind of been one of the sidebars of that thing. I don't know, Jason, did you want to add anything, or Scott?
It's hard to quantify something like that. Unlike budgets and whatnot, it'll make a difference.
No, but when you go into a classroom and you watch a master teacher like some of these retirees that retiree applicants, I should say, that we have.
Can you turn them down?
Well, you know what? I don't have to necessarily act on them right away. The board doesn't. But
you wait 10 years.
You know, it's pretty difficult. You know, you can't help but get emotional because you feel so strongly about some of these people and what they've done for kids.
I can remember teachers I had in the fourth grade and the ninth grade and the 10th grade.
Yeah.
Good teachers you remember for the rest of your life.
Oh, yeah. And we have some of those like that. And So anyway, I think, you know, I've always felt that from our veteran teachers, our young teachers learn respect for the profession. And I always thought when we have an infusion of young teachers, it kind of they kind of bring a excitement and a little bit of you know, zipperoo to to the rest of the learning community. So anyway, yeah, that's kind of a tough that's a tough repercussion that I don't know that the average person understands and how that impacts a learning community. And when we talk about program excellence and quality, program is teachers.
That's it.
It is.
Jim, I think, you know, you've really hit upon a good issue. We do have an excess number of people choosing to retire early relative to what I think, as Jim pointed out, their career might have done otherwise. And it's a fear of the unknown would be my suspicion because of all the changes, of all the changes that are coming through. And it's unfortunate because, I mean, we're going to have to work hard to replace them. You know, we'll most likely succeed at doing that, but it'll take a little time to accomplish to get back to that same high quality status. Your first new teacher, there's a learning curve that they have as they come into that classroom that first year.
Yeah, I would submit that, you know what, I've always had a theory that it takes 5 years to become an emerging competent. And that's part of our staff development, that we're training them that way. That we want them to be Fort Atkinson
an emerging competent.
And it takes 5 years to be what I call emerging competent. We're talking about people with 25 and 30 years of experience, and they are on their game. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's the tough part.
Yeah, I for the chamber about 10 years ago, I taught a business thing at the middle school. Mm-hmm. One period was it 50 minutes?
Yeah.
These are 13-year-olds.
Yeah.
Fortunately, the teacher was in the room too. Otherwise, I wouldn't even be alive today.
You're probably with Melody Wachter and Patty Rowe, maybe. Yeah.
That is the toughest 50 minutes, and I had to do it week after week for an entire quarter. I ever spent, at the end of that time, I was physically exhausted. It's like I played handball for 50 minutes rather than, you know, standing still in the middle talking to people.
Well, Mike, your expression of experience here, therein lies what, you know, I would always hope people would at one point come to understand and respect and honor about the teaching profession.
I mean, I'm a good talker. But I couldn't hold them. Every 5 minutes, they were drifting. You know, I'd have them right there, but then Mr. Molly would step in and
say
something, and they'd come back to me. And mm-hmm. But that's a tough job. That is a tough job.
Yeah.
5 years, I think you're being optimistic.
Yeah. Well, what we always want to do is be able to attract, you know, recruit, mm-hmm. induct, and retain. And induction is important here, too.
You know, we're about out of time already. They're playing our song in the background. Let's talk again when we get to more specific numbers. And we'll probably be talking about this quite a bit before your next budget.
Yeah.
And about your next budget.
Well, Mike, I think all three of us really appreciate you having us on so that we have a conduit with the citizens and have a chance to share some thoughts.
Communication.
Yes.
It's everything. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thanks.
You're listening to Morning Magazine. We've got ABC News coming up at the top of the hour.
Demand 940 WFAW Fort Atkinson and 940 WFAW.com.